This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and Reginald Atitula hanging out with you on this Reaction Monday. Trade deadline eve. Tomorrow at 3 p.m. Central Time is when the deadline is to get your trades done. And so a lot of things hoping to percolate around the league and obviously with the Texans. Although someone asked, like, have any trades around the league happened today? And I don't think I've seen any funny enough.
Kind of quiet. Like they say in the movies, too quiet.
Yeah.
Something about to happen.
Something's about to pop.
Yeah, so we're keeping an eye out on those types of things. But obviously, a lot of the attention that we're paying is to this Texans team, trying to see if they do try and address this offensive line at the trade deadline via trade, in addition to some other things on the team. But we know that the idea of making a trade for a lineman is not the easiest thing to do, but even if they are able to make it happen, and if they get a great offensive lineman, even if they manage to somehow get to, I don't imagine that being the case, but who knows, right? I don't know that fixes the offensive line inherently.
What, one move?
One move on the offensive line.
I don't know if it does either, to be honest. But I think you got to start there.
Yeah. This offensive line is in such a place where it does not feel like it is simply one move away. And so I thought, what can you still do to make this more tenable? And I have a great respect for the offensive line and offensive line play and how difficult it is. So I'm not speaking out of my keister. I try and turn to the places where people that have played the game or people that have coached the game in that place. And Jeff Schwartz seemingly keeps coming back up. In this instance, I did not go specifically to him, but I went looking for people that had insight, and he comes back up because he's one of the guys that played the game who has jumped into media and been willing to give us insight into these things. And funny enough, in 2016, he wrote a piece for SB Nation about how NFL pass protection is tough and how teams make it easier for them. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. Now, of course, the league, that's almost a decade ago. League moves and shakes, but I imagine that some of these things remain somewhat universal. So I kind of just wanted to go through some of the things that he points out as things that teams use to make it easier on the offensive line and see if any of them can be applicable to this team. That sound fair?
That sounds more than fair.
Okay, so the idea of helping offensive linemen, he says, in pass protection is to either physically hit the rushing defensive end or distract them with the threat of contact or slide protection help. Especially if you're trying to help a tackle. That fairly makes sense. And these are all built into an offensive team's philosophy and if they decide to give help, right? Now, the first one he talked about, or second one he talked about in there, was the idea of distracting a team with the threat of contact. And you do that through having condensed formations, right? We've seen a lot of that from this Texas team, have we not?
Too much of it. I think the Texans need to go in the opposite direction, but then you're putting everything on your offensive line. So, you know, it's a sort of a balance. You have to mix up it's the play calling too, you know, so it's all of that going together.
So, but I found that to be interesting. It's like, all right, one of the things in the tool belt, condensed offensive line, you've seen it, right? And in a way, this will also serve as a checklist for Bobby Slowick in his time as the offensive coordinator on this team this year and seeing, okay, what things has he deployed and how effective have they been?
Mm-hmm.
And condensed offensive line has worked almost entirely to the negative. It does not feel like it has been a deterrent to defensive linemen that they're worried of being worried about guys coming in and chipping them or whatever. They seem to go right at it. And it also does not seem to be all that helpful because it seems like tight ends and wide receivers are being asked to block almost square up with some of these guys, and it's not been all that helpful. But okay, you have that. All right. So like lining up tight ends, receivers, and condensed formation. Got it. Some other things that a team can do to try and help is that, you know, you can... Oh, sorry. I'm still with the chipping... the running back coming up and adding in chipping on the edges. And that you can definitely see happening, especially when Dare is in and such. The tough thing about that is a lot of this pressure is coming from the interior.
Yeah. I think the big problem with that is you're almost relying too much on something that should just be an add-on, for lack of a better way to put it.
Right.
Like, you should be able to win those matchups up front, and then the running back helps, you know, helps and sort of make sure that there's not a breakdown. Rather than relying on a running back when either a guard or a tackle, as you said, a lot of it's coming from the inside, is already getting beat. Well, when Kenyon Green, whether it's Kenyon Green or anyone else, because we know it's not just him, but it's largely, you know, he's been...
Shaq's getting pushed into the CJ's lap.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, Juice Scruggs get pushed into CJ's lap.
It shouldn't be, you know, that, okay, now you got him. No, it's got to be, you got to help get him. You shouldn't be already out of the play. And then you're relying on a running back. And I think that's been the problem.
Now, one of the things is the idea of like sliding your protection to one side or another, especially to help tackles. And again, this one of the things that pops up within this is, you know, seeing that pressure from the interior is going to be tough, right? If your guard is sliding, or if you're sliding center over, if they're not picking up, you know, that block, then your slide is particularly useless. But also, Jeff Schwartz highlights that this requires communication. And this is where one of the issues that has arisen with this offensive line gives me pause, because
they've used the word communication.
That has been something that clearly have not been able to get all the way down, is the communication, whether it's getting out of breaking the huddle early enough to get up and identify what you're doing and get everybody on the same page, or even sometimes just getting the right protection down, although they will contend that they're doing that, they have the right protection, they're just not executing it. But some of this is making sure that everybody has the same understanding of what they're doing and giving themselves the max opportunity to block it up well.
Yeah, but you know what I'm hearing here is, because all these things we've talked about, the condensed formation, the backs helping, the tight ends helping, communication, is with the Texans, they've tried all these things. So it still points, it's almost as if like, okay, they've done that, check. They've done that, check. Down the line, it's either personnel is not good enough, or it's coaching.
Those are both things that we need to talk about.
All these things that you've just mentioned, that you know, someone who knows the business, so to speak, of being an offensive lineman, says you can do to help the offensive line, they've done.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tried.
They've done these things. Now, I'm not willing to say that these are all the things that are available, but you see some of them, the main things that we're talking about that an offensive play caller has at their disposal to try and help an offensive line if they are blocking poorly are showing up. And this is one of the issues, is that it feels like you're not covering for one or two offensive linemen. It's the whole line, and that makes it problematic. Now, one of the things that also you can do within this is design of the offense. Quick passes, play actions, boots, screen passes.
We've seen a little bit of that.
We've seen a little bit, but I think that there's some things that you can work with within this.
Yeah, no, I
think that this, you could use the screen a lot better. I think we only saw the screen one time, really, in the game against the Jets, and that was in third and long, where you picked up a lot of yards, but you didn't pick them all up. And, of course, you can say that you picked up a lot of yards maybe because the Jets are playing off because it was like third and 21.
Yeah.
That's possible. But it feels like they either don't use enough screens or they don't screen well enough, right? Like, they don't have the right execution of the screen in order to go and pick up yards. But it feels like that's something that maybe they have not made the best use of. And then quick passing game.
Yeah.
It feels like, and I went to look at some of the, and of course some of the plays within this Jets game, the Jets game a particular outlier of bad play for your Texans, but it feels like with the quick passing game, you were a lot better when you had Nico Collins because he has that big body where he can get the ball. No matter if somebody's trying to play through him or whatever, he has that size in order to give a barrier and catch the ball. This is where I might be more willing and open to admitting that the wide receivers are not good enough as a whole. Like, even though you have depth, I don't know that you have guys that you can trust to be possession in that way and to like help the quick game with their physicality. Now you have guys with speed, and I think that they can operate in like screen situations. But I don't feel great about having guys that's like, hey man, this is a slant, and you're just using your body as a separation and catch the ball, getting the ball out quickly, catching the ball quickly. And some of the times where they have tried to use quick passing games, your line is getting blown up so quickly that CJ's not able to get the ball out quickly.
Now you have Tank; he's not a big body by any means, but he does get separation. But beyond that, it does sort of speak to. And we talked about this going into Thursday night's game. We can expect, you know, Xavier Hutchinson showed a thing or two. Obviously, Woods showed a thing or two. But they didn't back it up, you know. And maybe Nico getting back into the lineup, because he can also stretch the field and open things up underneath. You know, maybe
quick passing,
that helps.
He's great at. Like, getting the ball to him in space, screens, and making yards after catch, he's great at. It can't be a panacea necessarily, except it kind of was for a while. And so you do wonder how much of this is just, hey, Nico Collins comes back and we ask him to do a lot in carrying us there offensively. In addition to Joe Mixon already doing a lot to carry us.
I don't know, man. The more we talk about like all these other things that might be quick fixes or fixes, certainly short passing game. Hell, you know, one aspect of this type of offense that we really haven't seen other than by accident, is like designed rollouts, designed moving of the pocket.
And we saw a little bit of that start filtering in the last week or two.
You know, like he's moved the pocket out of necessity because he's running for his life. But like design it that way and maybe, you know, cover the backside a little easier and shorten the field, into thirds. We haven't seen a lot of that. It still goes back to the same thing. It's either personnel or coaching.
Yeah. And that's why I think... Yeah. You need to make the personnel move. It's not going to fix the entirety of the offensive line, but I think it brings the floor high enough to where some of these patches that a team would use to help an offensive line now become a little bit more tenable, and now you can do some things. Because I think the offense at this point, and it's wild to think of it, I'm not sure that the offense is the part of this team that's going to carry you.
Right now.
I know, but not even just right now. I don't know if... Ultimately, it's the part of your team that's going to carry you. I think your defense will carry you. Your offense needs to do enough to make them worthwhile. Someone was talking about it on the text line, on the 5-Hour Energy fan line earlier, saying that this Danielle Hunter was a C move because this line isn't getting pressure. I'm like, look, man,
no, that's not
they're
true.
Literally the high. They literally apply the most pressure to opposing teams.
Yeah.
Now, they didn't do that in the Jets game, but also the Jets offensive line apparently does not allow a lot of pressure. But then also... Right, Will Anderson gets hurt a little bit in there, and they still only allow 21 points.
Right.
But when they only allow 21 points, your offense needs to do at least the minimum to score enough points to get you over in those situations. And I think that ultimately is what I'm hoping for, is that you get some moves, you raise the floor of the offensive line enough to be able to do some of these things to mitigate poor offensive line play, and then you can get enough offense to get you over.
The defense is so much closer to being, well, some would argue they're already there, but the defense is so much closer to like truly being great than the offense. Like you would have thought it would have been the other way around, you know, that the offense was going to have a stand a chance to be great this year, and the defense, you just wanted it to be really good. The exact opposite is true. So it also speaks to maybe you don't sleep on a big move on the defensive side of the ball. Because if you're that close defensively and you add another piece, maybe the defense can reach an altogether even higher level and it can help your offense that much more. Maybe the defense is where you look. But here's the thing, and John McClain was, I think he tweeted it this morning, you know, he thinks Nick Caserio should make two moves on the offensive line.
Okay.
And while that might be a little bit unreasonable, I think, you know, with the right moves on the offensive line, the personnel just has to get better. And with a move on the defensive side, then your defense can be that much better and carry the load, so to speak.
Yeah, but once we start talking about moves, and not to be a negative Nancy, but it is worth remembering, you have about $5.5 million in space, in projected salary cap space. Now, here's the thing. If a team wanted to, you know, do some moves that create salary cap space, 3 p.m. today, Central, is the deadline to make those moves. Appreciations to Troy of Texans Cap for highlighting that. So that could also be a level of indicator if we see some level of moving and shaking salary cap wise for your Texans here as today progresses. Mm-hmm. That might be an indicator that something of a larger magnitude is coming.
I don't want to be, you know, willy-nilly about it, and I don't want to be casual about, oh, make this move, make that move, because we all know there are restrictions, there are salary caps, there are certainly ways to work around it, as we've talked about, with the other team, you know, taking on some of the salary. Ultimately, though, there's an old line that I've used occasionally: don't tell me about the waves, just bring the ship in.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of where I am. You know, nobody wants to hear about, well, this is a hurdle, and this is a hurdle, and that is a hurdle. It does get done. Teams do make deals. Teams that make deals that are up against the salary cap as well. So we don't want to hear about the waves. We just know that this team has to make those moves.
In the words of Don Draper in the hit television show Mad Men, that's what the money is for.
Yeah, exactly.
Get it done.
Exactly.
All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Coming up next, it's about time for our Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. We'll do those next.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.